everybody. This is Dr. Diana Wiley, your host of Love, Lust, and Laughter. My guest, Joan Price, has been dubbed the senior sexpert. The media has dubbed her as that. And she's also been called our mighty middle-aged Aphrodite. And she really is the beautiful face of senior sex. Now, if you're listening and you're younger than 60, please stay tuned, because Joan Price will provide lots of helpful information, and some of it could be preventative. So you need to listen to this show. And Joan has a lot of fans, including the famous Dan Savage, who said, Joan Price is one of the smartest thinkers around about sex, regardless of your age or hers. Welcome to the program, Joan. It's been a while, and I'm so glad you're back.
I'm so happy to be back, Diana. Thank you. I have to say one correction in what you read. I'm no longer middle-aged. I'm 78. I'm from the land of old.
You know, I took that off of an old bio that you had sent me some years ago. Yeah, you're no longer middle-aged. That's all right. You just turned 78, and you are an amazing 78. And I suspect you are free about telling your age, because it's part of your whole story and a part of the reason you can talk so wisely about aging and sexuality is that you've experienced it, you've lived it, and you've written books about it, like Ageless Erotica and Better Than I Expected and Naked at Our Age and Sex After Grief and The Ultimate Guide to Sex After 50. Lots and lots of books. You're just a wonderful writer. Going back to Better Than I Expected, maybe it was Naked at Our Age. Anyway, I'm quoted in one of your first books, I think, and it was Candida Royale who referred you to me. So that was a while ago, because she died in 2015. So
yes. Well, you were in my award-winning book, Naked at Our Age, talking out loud about senior sex. And you were one of 45 wonderful experts who volunteered to address reader questions with your own niche expertise. Mm-hmm. You were so helpful. And it was just so good to contact you and be close to you ever since. Be a friend and colleague.
But, you know, friend and colleague. And I haven't seen you for a while, partly because of COVID. We've seen each other at conferences, and that's always a pleasure. You also have, and your website is so simple, joanprice.com. You have great webinars. And I just wanted to mention for our listeners, because they really do need to peruse your website and familiarize themselves with it, because there's so much really excellent information on it. And so you have these webinars, Great Sex Without Penetration, often called, this is my editorial comment, Outer Course. That's such a good one. Sex Toys for Seniors. We're going to talk about that in the second part of the show today. How the heck do I date at this age? A lot of older women who are divorced or widowed or still single as they're older, they have that question, don't they? Especially women. How the heck do I date at this age?
Well, it isn't even gendered. Everybody has that question, because first of all, if we were, the last time we were single, many of us, was 50 years ago, and everything has changed. Nothing is the same about how you meet people, how you date, how soon you have sex, what that looks like if you've got medical issues or other issues. So it's just a whole new world, and I'm really happy to be able to help people through that.
And I think it makes it so easy, because people can, yes, but people can go to your website and just pay a nominal price, it's not much at all, to listen to your webinar, and then they own it. They can listen to it again and again. And you have Safer Sex. That's important for seniors, because a lot of seniors mm-hmm. don't think they need to have to take precautions. And I like this one, 12 Steps to Sexy Aging, starting now. And 7 Steps to Reclaiming Your Sexual Pleasure. You have a nice library of webinars, Joan. Good for you.
Thank
with
you,
lots
Diane.
Of really good information. And you have many people writing their testimonials, and they're just so happy that they have this information, because knowledge is power, isn't it?
Knowledge is power, and our age group was brought up not to talk about sex, not to ask questions, not even to feel entitled to sexual pleasure. When were we mm-hmm. taught that we were entitled to sexual pleasure?
Yeah,
but I'm saying now we are. We always were, and we still are. And age does not have an expiration date.
Age does not have an expiration date. And sexual pleasure, I know this too. Actually, I'm able to call myself a gerontologist because in the early 90s, I did 2 sexuality studies on aging and sexuality mm-hmm. with Dr. Walter Bortz in Palo Alto, and they were later published in medical journals. So I've been interested in aging and sexuality for a very long time, and now I'm living it and have for quite a few years, and I know, and I bet you can chime in here the same, that personally, what a difference it makes to remain sexual as a senior. And as a senior in her 70s, I'm just so happy that Brian and I, who do this LAT, as you and your significant other do too, maybe it's a good segue into talking about LAT, living apart together. Let's talk about that first.
Yes, living apart
yes.
together means that you are a committed couple, but you each maintain your separate homes, and you mm-hmm. either see each other on a regularly scheduled basis, or you do it when you want to. You say, hey, I'd really love to see you now. And what that does, it accomplishes so much. Because we used to think, if you fall in love, then the next step is either marriage or living together. Well, why? We have so many other options. And many of us are already in homes that we love and have routines that we like. And we maybe even have family members who would worry about their inheritance if we moved in with someone. I mean, there are so many reasons that we might say, I love being with you, but I also love my own life on my own. I have my own friends. I have my social activities. I need to be alone a lot. I mean, there could be so many of these reasons or a combination of these reasons. And also, not living together makes sex hotter.
Because I absolutely agree.
You can't
because
for someone.
I know this is true for my husband and me, that we can anticipate sex, and we do have a regular schedule. He comes to my place on Wednesdays, and I go to his place on the weekends, and then we travel together, which we'll do the beginning of December. So, the anticipation, looking forward to being sexual together, is a lovely thing.
It is so important, Diana. If
yes,
you remember
yes.
when we were young teenagers and college students and we were dating, if we had a date coming up, we thought about it all week. We had a Saturday night
yeah.
date with someone special. Oh, my gosh. We planned, we groomed, we changed our idea of what we were going to wear 1,000 times, picked out our underwear yeah. with care, and by the time Saturday night rolled around, we were so ready. Well, if you see each other all the time, and you don't have any apart time, you're always together, how do you then recapture those feelings? It isn't age that makes those hard to recapture. It's the living situation. So if we are not living together, I mean, you say you see Brian on Wednesday and then for weekends, I'll bet you by Tuesday you're really ready for him.
That's true. And that's very true. And there's some other things. You know, I was a widow for a good, and in a past show a long time ago, we talked about our respective experiences with being widowed. But at the time I met Brian through Match.com in 2010, I'd already been a widow for 10 years. And my late husband, as I'm sure you had the same or a similar kind of experience with Robert and his death. But I Charlie, my late husband, was a tough act to follow, and I was very picky, and I really did not. I was in L.A. for part of that time and good part of that time, and there were so many narcissistic men, and I was very picky, and so I'd been single for a while, and I got used to living on my own, and I liked maintaining a sense of my own individuality, and I think that's a part of the whole attraction of living apart together, LAT.
Right, right. Absolutely. And, you know, I love that we have this long, long relationship with each other, that we were widows at the same time, and we talked about grief. And now, of course, as you know, I have a book on that, Sex After Grief,
yes.
Which also has won an award, so I'm very happy about that. But back to being widowed, I know that you felt as I did. There's no way that I'm going to let anyone else into my heart the way that Robert, in my case, it was in my heart. And I thought at a certain point, you know, took some years getting it figured out, but I knew that, yes, I wanted contact. I wanted male energy in my life. I wanted sex in my life.
Yes.
I wanted to hear a male voice. I really missed hearing a male voice. I had so many women friends, which was wonderful, but I really missed hearing a male voice. And so I thought, well, at some point I'm going to have a friend with benefits. And I did try that, and it was great while it happened. And then I thought, ooh, I feel my heart is more open. I felt that it wasn't that I loved Robert any less. I still was in love with my dead husband. But somehow having all that love for him and from him gave me more love to give instead of less. I didn't feel restricted by it anymore. And
I think that's beautiful.
Then another
person walked into
my life.
You were able to come from a place of abundance, that you had, there's enough love to go around, and you would experience so much deep love and commitment and good communication with your late husband. So you didn't have to overcome, or I'm thinking you didn't have regrets. I didn't have regrets either, except that Charlie died way too soon, and I suspect you felt the same way about Robert. But I did not regret not having communicated with him about certain things or not having done certain things, because we did communicate well, and we did a lot of wonderful things together, including travel. And so, and studies have shown, and you might have mentioned this in your book about sex and grief, but studies have shown that if you don't have a lot of regrets and bitterness about your deceased partner, that the path of grief will be smoother.
It smooth, personally. I found it just horribly difficult for certainly a decade. I wasn't stuck in the same place for a decade, but it was still difficult for a decade. And in fact, lest I make it sound too Hollywood that I opened my heart and another man walked in, the man walked in before I opened my heart. The man that
I talk about that,
with
Joan.
Now,
mm-hmm.
and we're going on 5 years, which is hard for me to believe. When mm-hmm. I first met him, there was instant attraction and appreciation. He had so many qualities that I'd been looking for that I hadn't found at all with new men I had met. And I really liked him a lot. But I still reserved part of myself. You know, don't get too close. Come closer, that's enough. That kind of, and he was so understanding. He was a widower too, and the death of his spouse was much more recent than mine. It was really just before we met, and so we had that in common, and we still do. We still talk about our spouses, and we appreciate it. We always say, "Oh, I wish I had known her. I wish I had known him." This is a part of our relationship. And now that I've set aside all those reservations, it was a slow process, but none of it was painful. It was all full of communication and understanding. And I feel like that helped me bloom into a place where I could accept this relationship the way I have. And we don't work together.
Yes, and Mac participates in some of your work, too, for instance, on your blog page. I believe he wrote the article on LAT.
Yes, he did.
It's wonderful. And he actually, going back a few months, maybe last year, he actually wrote a review of my book, Love in the Time of Corona.
Right.
And I really appreciated that. He's a good writer. Well, he's a retired professor, so he's a real smart guy, and
yes,
apparently he has plenty of EQ, too.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, he writes for my blog. He has become really a part of my world. So many of the things that I was doing independently, he has now taken on. He even takes my line dance classes.
Yes. So you dance together, too.
Right. I've been teaching line dancing for 25 years or so. And when Mac first started dating me, he wanted to try my classes, and he liked them a lot and kept doing it. And it wasn't until much later that he confessed to me that the reason he took my classes is he wanted me to continue to date him. And he thought this would give him bonus points. But then he fell in love with dance, which he had never experienced. He was a sports guy, never did dance. And now he dances twice a week, and it's really fun.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm thinking about the very short saying, dance first, think later. You know, it's so freeing and liberating to dance. And, of course, with line dancing, there's some structure to it, I realize. My husband does a static dance, which is a little more free form. Now, with COVID, the group can't meet in person. But what have you done about that? How do you manage that with your line dancing?
Well, we closed down entirely for the pandemic and then recently reopened in California. Mm-hmm. And so the businesses such as, I teach at a health club, and the health club was permitted to reopen. I can't even remember the month, but it's been some months ago. They were able to reopen by requiring masks. And everyone in our class has also been vaccinated. So we're vaxxed and masked. And
that does provide a nice layer of safety for you to do this. So living apart together. So in Mac's article on your website, he says, you rely on each other for emotional intimacy and support without being together all the time. You know, and you can maintain some of your individuality, but you still have that emotional intimacy and physical intimacy and support without being together all the time. And I think that I think that's really important.
Yes. Yes. It's not a lack of closeness. It's not a lack of commitment. It just takes a different form.
A different form. And it's especially popular for people over 50. I think it's a harder thing to do when you've got children you're raising. But for people over 50 whose children are launched and or they've never had children, but they want to maintain their independence. And, you know, there's another thing. I've heard one woman say she was really glad with the LAT arrangement because it enabled her to avoid the default household duties that are often expected in shared spaces.
Well, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
We're responsible for our own houses and not each other's. And,
yes.
It's really freeing, I think. It's the best of all possible worlds. We can have our autonomy, our time, our other friends, our other activities, and we can also have a very close relationship.
Yeah. It seems to work very well, and it could even work for slightly younger people. But I think, don't you agree? It's mostly people over 50 for whom it works the best.
I don't know whether it's mainly people. I know that people over 50 are very interested in this relationship modality. I think it would work for younger people if they're not trying to raise children.
Yeah,
if they raise children,
exactly.
Then, you know, it helps to have both parents.
Yes.
But I do hear from people who are younger who say, wow, we had such hot sex and then we moved in together. What are we doing wrong?
I hear that time and time again, yes. Then we moved in together and sex got to be routinized and just kind of the spark left. But having a little separation, as I said earlier, you know, it leads you to anticipate sex with your mate.
Right.
And the thing that's so important, let's talk about dopamine, because we got to keep the dopamine going. And dopamine is the hormone of arousal, but it needs novelty. And so we've got to have some novelty in our life. And that means that we're maybe not sleeping together every night. And maybe we meet each other at certain times. And I'm a real advocate. We dress for success. I think we should dress for sex, too. And I've got a nice wardrobe of lingerie. And Brian loves it. I mean, men tend to be more visual than women. They have a bigger part of their brain, I've forgotten what it is, that is visual. So I think that's part of it. You pick out a flattering, sexy outfit. And then that can help you, the woman, transition into a more sexual, receptive mode because you can see the desire in your lover's eyes for your cute little outfit, or maybe you do a little striptease for him. And I mean, there are lots of possibilities.
And maybe he does one for you.
And I think
maybe
that's even better.
A cute little outfit too.
That's right, Joan. You know, it's really true. Yeah, he does one for you. They don't have as many kind of sexy outfits for men, but they're available. I know.
Oh,
they're
yes,
available.
They do. You just have to know where to look.
Yeah. Do you have any tips for websites that have lingerie or sexy outfits for men?
There is I can name a couple. Ex officio. Has regular underwear that's just very well constructed, but it's constructed with a pouch rather than a seam up the middle, so it sort of lets the lets the attraction show more easily, and they're in good colors. They're really cool. And then, to be even sexier, there's a company called Cock Socks, and they make super sexy underwear for men. Cock Socks. Mm. All in one word, Cock Socks. And
socks,
it looks them
but
up,
socks like you wear.
On the internet, look them up on Twitter. They are always putting really sexy photos that catch my eye every time. So, yeah.
Well, now, see, I've learned something. That's great.
Oh, I was afraid I didn't have any more to teach you, Diana.
Well, I knew, you do. Of course, I always learn from you. And, hopefully you learn a thing or two from me.
Definitely.
Which is maybe a good segue for us to talk about sex toys for seniors. And you have on your blog page, Sex Toys for Seniors, you have several bullet points, and I want to cover these. How to choose the best one or ones. What about the partner who doesn't like sex toys?
Mm-hmm.
Does it decrease sensitivity? Can one become dependent? Sex toys for men. We have a lingerie for men. I know we have sex toys for men. And and your criteria for evaluation. Let's start with your criteria, because you've been reviewing sex toys for, 10 years?
15 by now.
Okay. Wow. Good. What's your criteria?
I review sex toys from a senior perspective, as I call it,
mm-hmm.
which means that the product has to be ergonomic for arthritic wrists, easy to see the controls, and work the controls with looped fingers without reading glasses, preferably. A lot of them fall down. But would I try? Need to be made of body-safe materials. Need to be strong enough for a slow-burning senior. And go on for long enough without overheating or losing their charge. Those are the main ones. You're looking at that articles, so you may notice more that I haven't said. But these, a lot of what I look for would be true for everyone of any age, but they're a necessity for our age. Because if the toy is not ergonomic, our wrists are going to hurt before the job is done. And one of the problems some of the toys have is that the vibrations go into the handle. So I really give bonus points to those that have the handle without vibrations, and the vibrations all happening at the working end. And a lot of the sex toys that I review are really absolutely fabulous. There are people who say, oh, those are made sex toys for seniors. They do. They may not say, this is for seniors, but I do. These are just wonderful products that are really strong, that are well made, that are ergonomic, that are fun to use and safe to use, and they enhance sex, whether you are solo or partnered. And one of the things I want to be sure that we mention is that sex toys are not just for when we're on our own. There is nothing like a threesome. The two partners and the right toy at the right time.
The right toy at the right time. And I think that requires, for the woman, giving her, maybe her new sex toy, a trial, a solo run, so she knows how the toy works and what feels good, and she has put aside some time for her solo pleasuring. And she knows she can reach orgasm with this particular toy, and then she can do a little show and tell for her partner. look at my new toy and look at how I use it. And that can be very sexy. You know, a lot of scenes in pornography are showing a woman masturbating. Men like it.
Well, the scenes in pornography, though, are generally showing what the camera wants to see about a woman self-pleasuring, rather than really how it happens if she's trying to self-pleasure and there's no camera. I'm not anti-porn here at all. I'm just saying porn and sex ed are different. So, yeah.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. And that's a big theme in Michael Castleman's book, and he was a recent guest, and I know he thinks so highly of you.
And I of him.
Yes, yes, yes. And that's one of the big themes, that men need to remember that porn is for entertainment and fantasy purposes. It's not sex ed. And you're right. The angles, it's pretty hard to light a vulva and a clitoris so that things can be shown, right? So, I'm just thinking you could have been a consultant on, there was a recent, do you know on Netflix, the series Grace and Frankie?
Yes.
Okay.
I wish I had.
Well, Grace is Jane Fonda, and Frankie is
Lily Tomlin.
Lily Tomlin, and Brian and I are slowly working our way through. I think we're up to season 3 or 4. I think there's like 7 seasons, but the most recent one we watched was how Grace and Frankie came up with this great vibrator for seniors. And that was one of the things that the Jane Fonda character said, is that she had to have something that was easy to hold because of her arthritis in her in her wrists. And once there was a scene where these religious women were just really upset when they realized they were called to her home to see the vibrator and to be given a vibrator. Right. And one of them took the vibrator home and came back and was thrilled. She had her first orgasm in years and years and years. And then she wanted more orgasms for the other women who had left in a huff, because now she was going to promote how important it was to have a vibrator to reach orgasm. Joan, the role of estrogen is pretty important. And in having orgasms and all, I'm sure you remember and have read Gail Sheehy's book, Sex and the Seasoned Woman.
Yes.
Pursuing the Passionate Life. And I think it was 2006 it was published. And so she talks about Helen Fisher, and we both know about Helen Fisher, but the listeners may not. She is a researcher, and she used a functional MRI, the brain scan, to look at lots of brains newly in love and brains that and couples who'd been together a while. And Dr. Fisher, she was having a wonderful time. This is all described in the book. She fell in love with a new man, and sex was wonderful, and orgasms were easily achieved. And she put herself through the brain scanning machine, and she found out she was off the charts, even though she wasn't a college age anymore. She was off the charts, and sex was good with her new love, and she decided to experiment. She cut her low dose estrogen budget in half. And she was using the Vavel 0.05 milligram transdermal patch. And then, but instead of changing her patch twice a week, she changed it only once. Everything else stayed constant. She remained just as in love. Her lover was just as ardent. There were no stresses in her life. But within 3 or 4 weeks, Helen was dismayed to notice that she couldn't reach orgasm with her lover or on her own. And that's when she concluded, it's the estrogen that governs the actual sexual response. And then this was backed up by the doctor who was head of NAMS. and he says that you know, even topical, like estradiol cream, like Estrace or Vagifem, all of these things can really help a woman. And he claims that the risk factors are pretty close to zero. And that's also a reason why women really need to use a vibrator, because it can enhance the woman's capacity to achieve orgasm. That's why a lot of women post-menopause say, oh, my orgasms feel muted. Muted.
Mm-hmm.
And so the vibrator can help.
Absolutely can.
Yeah.
And in fact, for many postmenopausal women, a vibrator determines whether or not they have an orgasm. It's just,
yes.
It's that clear. It's that striking.
Mm-hmm.
That there's just no amount of even the best lover's technique or your own fingers that can get you where a vibrator can, because it's made with one sole purpose, and that is to give you extra sensation where you need it, when you need it, for as long as you need it. And I wish that people would stop trying to find something wrong with that. Now, oh, if you really loved me, you'd be able to have an orgasm without that thing. No, stop it. This is what my body demands. Like it or leave. That's how I feel.
You know, and that, so that addresses your question about what do you do if you have a partner who, well, frankly, maybe isn't intimidated by a sex toy, and maybe he's an older man and these sex toys weren't around in his youth. Well, of course, the Hitachi One was around 50 years ago, but all of these now with the computer chips, and it's just amazing what we have, a whole new generation of vibrators. They are just amazing, including the vibrators that are clitoral. They suck the clitoris up, and
yes,
I have the Lilo Cruiser, which I have dubbed Hoover. It's sucking. And the nice thing is, I think it's just incredible what it does. And my husband, Brian, has learned how to use the Hoover on me and how to incorporate it in mm-hmm. partner sex. So you can have clitoral stimulation and penetrative, if you're having that, penetrative intercourse at the same time. That's an amazing combination. So
yes,
I'm all for good sex toys.
Yes, those the Hoovers.
the Hoovers.
The Womanizer brand. The Womanizer brand. Horrible name, but the vibrators are fabulous. And mm-hmm. they make the point that it isn't really sucking. It isn't a suction, that it's air pulse technology. Well, I don't know how to analyze that. I just know it feels like gentle sucking. Or as Epifora, who is a wonderful sex toy reviewer, said, it feels like tiny goldfish are nibbling my clit.
Oh!
Isn't that the cutest?
I think that's a very tiny goldfish nibbling my clit. Okay. Well, let's have plenty of tiny goldfish going in, because and they're said to mimic more closely than other toys, cunnilingus, a man going down on a woman, which is usually a very good way to facilitate an orgasm for the woman.
Well, they mimic cunnilingus from a lover who really knows what he's doing. You know, it's just so. And now, of course, we can't say that any sex toy is good for everybody. You have to try different ones, and I know it's a little bit of an investment to try the good ones, but that's the way to go. Try the good ones, and mm-hmm. you see what people are talking about. You see why you and I are raving about them.
Yeah, I mean, we need to try the good ones because they'll be more quiet, they'll go at more speeds, they'll last longer, they're more likely to have this safer materials that's compatible with our skin and our health, and they'll just last longer. They're not going to break down. They'll maybe hold the charge longer.
And you're paying for the research and development that went
a good
into
point.
Creating this wonderful toy. There are knockoffs. They're really horrible. They're made of inferior materials. They're made of unsafe materials that leach mm-hmm. chemicals into your body, that break down, that dissolve into oily goop. And you don't want any of that. You don't want that. You don't want to trust your genitals to some knockoff. You really don't. You have every reason to want to say, okay, I would invest in something that I really wanted that's going to give me pleasure, that's going to give me orgasms, for goodness sake. That's worth something.
It sure is. And some of the better toys, I mean, we're talking, oh, 100 or sometimes a little more than that, maybe 150, maybe even 200 for the real deluxe model. But as you say, it's a good investment. And you don't want to try. You just will be happier. You'll have better orgasms. And what better investment than in your pleasure?
Right.
Think of all the things we spend money on that's, you know, kind of frivolous if we look back on it. But reading your reviews would help people too, wouldn't? Isn't that true?
Absolutely would. Reading my reviews, because I point out what these products do well and where they're lacking, if they're lacking. And I also say, for someone who likes this, this, and this, it would be good. For someone who likes this, this, and this, it wouldn't be the right choice. So I'm trying to be, well, I know I am, very honest in evaluating them. I only evaluate products that I think are worth you taking your time to read about. I could write scathing reviews of some of the others or reviews of some of the others, but I don't bother because my time's valuable, so is yours, I think, for my readers. And so I want to say, oh, right, of these 10 recent products, these are the two that I want you to know about. So those are the ones I review.
So, Joan, have you had any feedback from your readers, from the people that go on your website, maybe even from your clients, about some of their favorite sex toys and how it really made a difference in terms of their sexual responsiveness and then, with partner sex, too?
Absolutely.
Do other favorites?
Oh, all the time. I hear from people. And there are some new products this past year that have been really exemplary. Hot Octopus, which makes mainly sex toys for penises, wonderful ones, absolutely the best. And you don't need an erection to use them. So I would send and there are plenty of reviews on my site of those products. But they came out with a penetrative vibrator, a vaginal vibrator, called the Curve, spelled with a K, K-U-R-V-E. You should read my review of it. It is amazing. It's got two motors in it. And so you can adjust. One is bass and one is treble. And they have different frequency vibrations, and you can decide how much of one you want, how much of another, or do you want a pattern where they're alternating? And it's just a wonderful product. So that's one of my new favorites of the year.
So the Curve, I'm going to look on that one up. I'm learning something new from you. I did not know. And also, I'm not familiar with Hot Octopus, so I need to read your reviews.
Should be. Yes, read the reviews. They do sex toys mainly for penises, as I said, and they are made so that you don't need to have an erection to put in the toy the way you do for most penis toys. Most of them are the so-called sleeve shape, push an erection in and then you turn it on or you stroke with it. Well, these are open-ended so that you can put a flaccid penis right in there, close the flaps, and go to town with the vibrations. If an erection
is
possible,
really
you'll get it that way. And if an erection is not possible, you can still reach orgasm.
Yeah, well, a lot of people didn't know about that. But it is important to know that a man can receive oral sex from his partner and with a completely flaccid penis and still have an orgasm. Mm-hmm. It does not depend. He might even feel more because the penis isn't stretched out so much with the erection.
Well, I don't know about that. I've never heard that. Yeah, but maybe you know something I don't about that. But what does happen is so many penis owners and their partners think that if there's no erection, then there's no sex. And that's just not true. There are plenty of people with problematic penises that sometimes have erections, sometimes won't, or that don't have erections anymore, maybe due to, say, prostate cancer treatment. And they can still feel the sensation and can still have orgasms. Depending on their medical situation, there might or might not be ejaculate. But whether or not there's ejaculate, there's a clear orgasm. Feels like it, it is one. So don't give up if you have some of those issues. Learn about it. Learn about what's going on. And get more information probably than the urologist told you.
I think that's a very good idea to get more information from the doctor. And also for women and for men who are struggling with orgasm, ejaculation, orgasm, they really should, with their doctors, review their medications because so many medications can not only affect the libido, but can inhibit the orgasm. And so...
Well, that's right.
Including, SSRIs for depression. You know, I remember in the early 90s when Dr. Bortz and I were talking for one of our studies on aging and men and sexuality. So this was the early 90s. This was before Viagra came out in 98. And there were so many men. We spoke to the SIRS all over the Bay Area, and we ended up with 2,002 people who returned their questionnaires, different luncheon groups over the course of a year talking to them. And so many of the men then were saying, well, I have some heart problems, and my doctor says, and blood pressure problems, my doctor says, would you rather have an orgasm, or would you rather die because you're having sex? What a terrible thing. No mention. I mean, I remember hearing this and I was just shocked. No mention of improving your lifestyle with the exercise that you promote all the time. And I do too. And better eating. And then the partner relationship is so important. I remember we had the questionnaire from this one 92-year-old man. And he said in his questionnaire, my wife of, some 50 years, my wife is interested and interesting. And so we have an active sex life. He didn't elaborate whether that meant penetrative sex, but he was happy and so was his wife, but she was interested and interesting and not pulling away from sex as many women do. And men too. Men don't even want to talk about it. If they're having ED, some men just are too embarrassed. They don't want to talk about it, so they withdraw from sex altogether. It's really too bad.
Now, a lot of the issues you're talking about, including the medications, the side effects of medications, I talk about a lot in my biggest book, The Ultimate Guide to Sex After 50. So that would be a good resource for people who are saying, oh, what? I didn't know.
Yeah, it's surprising, or maybe it isn't surprising, how many doctors are not well-versed on human sexuality and do not have these discussions with their patients. It's very unfortunate.
That's true. I like to give presentations to medical professionals. I wish I had more of those jobs. If any of you are thinking, oh, we need her, call me. I do educate medical professionals and others in healthcare professions about what is normal aging, what is not normal aging for sexual issues. In other words, when is lack of erections a medical problem, or when is it just a sign of aging? What about women's responses and function, and also how to talk to their patients? How to say, for example, how has sex changed for you lately? Rather than just
lovely
saying,
question, yes. How has
rather than
changed?
Just, you have any questions about your sex life? Well, it's a yes or no question. We'll get a no most of the time, but if you ask an open-ended question, you can get an answer.
It's really, really good advice. How has sex changed for you over the years? And that's a good question for couples to evaluate about their own, as they look at their own sexuality. How has it changed in their relationship as they've gotten older? And what's happened to the libido? And oftentimes, of course, that's better understood in a therapy session. And so I help a lot of my older couples with these questions. And I had a woman in her 60s recently break down and cry because she was so missing her orgasm, even with her sex toy. And this was early in our sessions. And I said, did you have any warm-up before you used the sex toy? Well, no, she didn't.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, you got to start on warm. And maybe, like, I love your book, and I recommended your books to lots of people, but I especially love erotica for seniors. What is it called?
Ageless Erotica.
Yeah, Ageless Erotica. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, I'm
Ageless
glad
Erotica.
Like
it's great. It's a great. These stories are, and they're sexy stories, and they're written by.
They are.
They're written by real seniors.
Yes. The requirement was that the writer had to be over 50, and the main characters had to be over 50, and that I wanted it hot and steamy, but also dealing with realistic challenges. So we have someone who wants to give a hand job, but she has wrist arthritis. And so she starts hand arthritis. So she starts using sexy gloves. And we have someone who wants to give, do fellatio, but can't get on her knees. So he's in a swing. And they're all.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That people solve real problems, but in a really hot, steamy way. It's not sex ed. It's definitely titillation. But what I didn't want, you see, when I put out the call for submissions, I said, I don't just want the typical sopping wet panties, rock hard cock, slapped with an age on it, with an old age on it. I want real situations. We don't lubricate. We don't have sopping wet panties. We don't have rock hard cocks. So given that, what's sexy? Make it sexy.
And so that was a great call for submissions. And did you get a lot? I mean, the ones you put in the book hot and steamy and informative.
I'm amazed looking back now, because in order for me to accept it, I needed the complete story. it wasn't enough that someone said, I'm going to write you about this thing. And then they had to complete the story not knowing whether it would be accepted. And 110 erotica writers sent in their stories, of which I accepted, I think it's 29 best ones. And then I worked with those writers to edit their stories. We collaborated then on how can this be even better. And I love the results. Ageless erotica.
Ageless erotica. And I occasionally will use the book myself for solo sex, because the stories are sexy and erotic and they're relatable. So it's a very good combination. And I, as I said, I've recommended this book, Ageless Erotica, to lots of people.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome. So we're getting toward the end of the program. We still have a few more minutes. Is there something you'd like to talk about within the last 5 minutes or less that we haven't covered that you feel is important?
Oh, my gosh.
What?
I guess let's maybe figure out some general advice to seniors about all these things. One is to be open-minded, to start learning about something that you didn't think would be, that you would bring into your life, but let's find out more about it. Mm-hmm. So often people are rigid in their routines, and then when sex gets problematic, they think, well, that's limiting what I can do. They're saying, I used to like this, this, and this. I can't do this. So, if you could see me, I'm making this funnel with my hand that gets narrower and narrower. But, excuse me, if instead they can think of expanding their sexual activity or interests, what is there I haven't tried? What is it I used to like but haven't even thought about lately? What do I fantasize about? And I'm not saying you need to turn your fantasy into reality. One of the wonderful things about fantasy is you don't ever have to do it.
Exactly. And you don't even have to share it.
No, you don't. And in fact, it's probably better not to most of the time.
Yeah, it's probably better. but if it's something that turns you on, that's a good thing.
And is there a new sex toy I want to try? Maybe read my reviews and say, ooh, hey, here's what I want for the holidays or my next birthday. Here's what I want. And try things and explore and, above all, communicate. If you're partnered, think of ways you can open up about what you need, what you want, what turns you on. Think about ways that you can, in a loving way, say no to the things that don't work for you anymore. That's the hardest thing. And, of course, if they're near you, Diana, they can work this out with you in your office. But even if they're not, work on ways that you can open the conversation and that you could say, you know, there's something I don't like as much as other things you do, and that's rather than saying, stop it, or thinking, I'm going to hurt his feelings if I tell him that doesn't work for me so well. I had a lover years ago who said to me, I love it when you give me instructions because I really want to please you, and that way I know I am.
You know, that's so enlightened, your former lover. He's not, I think a lot of people, no matter their age, make the mistake of thinking that, well, I can read her mind and her body. I don't need to hear what she has to say. And yet that's so short-sighted because, after all, she owns her body and knows her body. Of course, then we have the problem of some women not sure what they want, which means they need to spend more time with masturbation.
Mm-hmm.
and maybe Absolutely. Reading more so that they can figure out what they yeah. do want.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say, Joan, that most men really have as a high priority their partner's pleasure? They want their woman to have orgasms and be satisfied and, you know, have good emotional as well as physical intimacy. They want that.
Well, absolutely, and I wouldn't even put the gender on that. I would say that all of us really prioritize, mm-hmm. want to prioritize our partner's pleasure. Mm-hmm. But if we don't know how to do that, if we're just running on memories or what happened with another partner or what we're guessing, that's just not as effective as somebody says, I really love it when you do this, dot, dot, dot.
Yes. And you just said, I love it when you do this. I think it's often helpful to start with something positive. And generally in couples in conflict, it's a good idea to start with something that you really appreciate about the other person so that they don't put up the barriers. So you say the positive first, and then you get into some of your complaints, but to say the positive first. So I really love it when you, and could you maybe not do this because it just feels whatever it feels, uncomfortable, mm-hmm. whatever, right?
Or even if he starts doing something that isn't your favorite thing, I don't like that as much as other things you do. Would you do this instead?
Would you do this instead?
So it isn't as if, yeah. So that you're giving him a place to go with it rather than just stop that.
That's really good advice. Yeah. Giving the person a place to go. We're coming. We've gone an hour yet, so I imagine I'll hear the music any minute now.
Thank you,
Joan.
Diana. Bye.
Bye-bye. Love it. Happy feet.